Let's go on to talk about a few other substances that didn't make it onto our table, but are things that are relatively important you should know about for your Step 1 exam. First, let's talk about ecstasy. Ecstasy is the street name for something called MDMA. Ecstasy is a so-called designer drug, something that's manufactured. And basically, it is a combination of amphetamine and a hallucinogen wrapped up together. It's basically Ritalin with a little hallucinogen wrapped around it. This is a drug that gets used at parties, the so-called rave parties. It's one of the drugs that people use to keep going all night as they're out and celebrating. Use of ecstasy, especially extensive use of ecstasy, has been associated with two particular negative outcomes. One, ecstasy destroys your serotonin receptors. Let me point out that you probably like having your serotonin receptors, so destruction is not a good thing here. If you're losing serotonin receptors, what might that look like behaviorally? Well, people become more impulsive, because again, serotonin is involved in impulse control. Second, use of ecstasy tends to destroy the connection between brain cells. It breaks off those neuronal connections. Why do you need those neuronal connections? Well, that's how information is stored in your brain. It's the geometry of the connections in your brain that stores information and lets you remember things. Therefore, one of the other consequences of ecstasy use is beginning to have memory gaps. You have blank periods. You can't remember what happened during certain times. Anabolic steroids. Anabolic steroids, this is nasty stuff, folks. These are taken by male and female athletes to increase their athletic performance or at least the look of their physique. Chronic use can give you a host of serious medical problems, including cardiomyopathy, bone and mineral loss leading to osteoporosis, hypertension, diabetes, but the most commonly first seen symptoms are emotional changes, mood liability, depression, and nonspecific psychosis. Nasty stuff. The first presenting signs are usually skin atrophy, spontaneous bruising, acne, and your lab values will show low serum potassium levels. The next table gives you another set of helpful hints. Because we know that table is long and there's a lot of detail, we're just going to try to give you another simple set of associations to help you remember what kind of drug induces what kind of response. When I talk about helpful hints, I need to caution you. I do not want you treating these as the buzzword I'm looking for to answer the question. Folks, let's be clear how these questions are written. The examiners know what buzzwords you're looking for, right? And so they either include them in the question and make it the wrong answer, or they leave out the buzzword you're looking for. If you see one of these buzzwords, I don't want you to stop reading and just go down and pick an answer. I want that to become your hypothesis as to what the answer is that you must confirm by reading the rest of the question. If the question mentions the patient being paranoid, then look for the other signs for cocaine or amphetamine intoxication. If they talk about the patient being depressed, then look for cocaine or amphetamine withdrawal. Arrhythmias, especially life-threatening arrhythmias, look for the other signs of cocaine intoxication. Violence, think PCP. Vertical nystagmus, think PCP. Pinpoint pupils, that's easy. Opiate overdose is most likely. Flu-like symptoms, that's easy. Opiate withdrawal. Flashbacks, suddenly you're having that experience without taking the drug, think LSD. Seizures, think benzodiazepine withdrawal. Death or near-death experience, barbiturate overdose, or barbiturate withdrawal. Barbiturates, again, most likely to kill you, either an overdose or withdrawal. In addition to being able to recognize the signs and symptoms of substance abuse, which I remind you again is well worthy of additional study here, there are some other issues associated with substance abuse that we expect you to be familiar with. Here's the issue. Physicians in general, in real life, seem to underdiagnose, that is, miss substance abuse problems of all types. Detection rates for most specialties are about 25%. That is, you only get 1 in 4 of all the substance abuse cases you're presented with. Even psychiatry, who ought to be good at this, only gets about 2 out of every 3. In general, physicians tend to most often miss substance abuse problems in women, patients that are high socioeconomic status, and especially other physicians, and that gives you a hint for your exam question. If in the exam question you're presented with a physician and you're asked what's wrong with the physician, the first thing I would think about is a substance abuse problem, because the questions are a little bit of a mental jujitsu. They're going to go against the grain of your instinct. Let's talk about illegal drug users. What do you think? Most illegal drug users are unemployed, employed full-time, or employed part-time. What do you think? Oh, overwhelmingly, most illegal drug users are employed full-time. If your picture of an illegal drug user is somebody out wandering the street homeless, that's not the case. Most of these people actually have homes, have jobs, look like productive members of society. If a physician has a problem with substance abuse, this will be dealt with as any impairment issue by the state licensing boards. Remember, it's the state that regulates the behavior and the conduct of physicians. If you suspect a colleague has a substance abuse problem, what must you do? Well, we talked about what you would do if it was a resident. You would go to the residency director. What if it's someone out in private practice? What if it's a colleague who's a member of your practice and you suspect a substance abuse problem? Basically, you must do one, report it to the hospital administration if you're in a hospital, or to the state licensing board. I know that sounds harsh. I know that's not the kind of thing we do in real life, but it's the right answer on the exam. Because on the exam, your allegiance is not to be to your colleagues. Your allegiance is to the patient over everything. You need to get the colleague to suspend patient contact. Take time off. They're a danger to the patient. Ideally, get the patient into treatment. Get the colleague who is now a patient into treatment. If your colleague says, I'll only go to treatment if you go with me, what are you supposed to do in the exam question? Go with them, because it's your obligation to make sure this gets taken care of, make sure the patient, that is your colleague now, gets the care that they need.